It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
Alright, hello everybody. Thanks for listening. This is the Escape Artist Podcast that you're listening to. And today, this little special thing, we're not, I'm not driving around in the car making noise. I actually have a guest here, special guest, Mr. Jeff Lafferty. How are you doing?
Hi, Marshall. How are you?
Pretty good. Just got out of work and stuff, so, you know, still dealing with the busyness of the day.
Yeah, totally.
But luckily it's a short day, so, you know, fun.
Yeah. Do you get 4th of July off or something? Or?
Yeah, we get 4th of July, and then usually whenever we have a like a holiday, we get like half of the day before it off, so works out pretty good. But we never know until like the hour before exactly when we're getting off, so scheduling things can be a pain.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just as a kind of an intro, if anybody hasn't heard of you, let us know a little bit about yourself and some of your links and stuff.
Okay. Let's see. How do I describe myself? I'm an artist. I make YouTube videos. I draw mainly movie art. And my website's jefflafferty.net, which, you know, if you go there, you kind of find out everything about me. But I don't know. What else is there to that? I pretty much make my living on the web selling art. And I don't know. I just started doing that again, so that's kind of like me in a nutshell, I suppose.
Sweet. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely loving the videos that you've been putting up. The first question that I kind of had was, kind of a basic question you hear on our podcast a lot, but I always think it's an interesting one, but, it'll help kind of frame a little bit of a bio, like telling us stuff that you've done and stuff. But basically, what were like some of, like, how did you start getting into like art, and like what was like maybe one of your first memories, like really, like where you're like, oh man, you know, I really dig this and I think I want to kind of give this a go and do something with this art stuff.
Yeah, that's a little bit different kind of question. Usually people ask, like, you know, when did you start drawing or whatever. When I first started getting into it and started really thinking about doing it as a living, well, I don't know. There's two different times. It's like when I was in high school, I used to be really into, like, comics and stuff. Right. And just drew all the time. And I would, like, draw these comics. I had, like, my mom. Sorry, I thought I heard somebody knock. She would buy me these big pads of newsprint.
Right.
And I would just draw comics in them, and I'd kind of, like, do them, like, I'd kind of, like, copy the stuff I was seeing, you know, like, at Savage Sword Conan and The Spirit. That was, like, my favorite comics right there. And so I would kind of do that sort of stuff, but then I would put my friends and me in them, you know what I mean?
Nice.
And then my friends would read them, you know what I mean? And we'd all be characters. And I never could really kill anybody off. I'd always have to bring them back to life because it'd be my friends, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
So that was like when I, back then I always thought, well, I'll be a comic book artist. I'll be an artist of some kind, you know, just whatever. But then like once I kind of graduated from high school and was like, well, what do I do with my life? That's probably when I really started thinking about actually trying something, you know what I mean?
Right.
And by then I had kind of got away from comics a little bit, you know, and you'd find girls and that kind of stuff, and you just sort of, you know, I don't know, lose track of them. And plus I lived in a really small town. I bought all my comics out of the gas station that was in town, you know?
Yeah.
And I really didn't even realize that the smaller comics were still around, like Marvel and DC. I thought the only comics that were around were like the magazine size comics. And I, you know, I was just kind of on the tail end of that. So even that was kind of disappearing. Like I wasn't even buying like Epic Illustrated and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't even getting that stuff anymore. I think those might have run out, though. I think, like, heavy metal and stuff was still around.
Okay, and I remember. So you're talking about, like, maybe back when, you know, they used to have the comics at the grocery stores and stuff, and then it kind of dropped out, and you kind of lost touch with it a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. Because I was buying them from there, and then kind of once they started disappearing, I was... And plus, my interest kind of waned, but I just... I wasn't seeing him anymore, so I thought maybe comics had died or something, you know. And then I remember I found, like, a magazine. I was just going on a road trip, and I saw this magazine called Comic Scene. I don't know if you remember that one. Kind of came out, like, in the early 90s, maybe the late 80s.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And I picked that up, and I'm like, hey, there's comics still, you know. Nice. And that kind of inspired me to go looking for a comic shop in, like, a bigger town. And then once I found that, I was like, hey, there's a whole thing here, and they're drawing cool stuff. So I wanted to get into that kind of industry. So that was when I really started thinking I want to do something like that, you know, some kind of fantasy art or comics or just something to do with that business, you know.
Right. And then so. Maybe what were some of the things that you tried to do, you know, after you kind of figured that out?
Well, the first thing I did was I went to school. I went to the Colorado Institute of Art, here in Denver. And that was kind of a mistake, though, because it was like an advertising school. It didn't really have anything to do with comics. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, I got there and, you know, they were just teaching me, like, back then, it's like so long ago, they were actually teaching you how to hand letter and stuff and do photostat mock-ups and things like that, you know. I wasn't interested in any of it. So after about a semester of that, or I might have, I don't think I made it a year. I ended up dropping out. And then I kind of, you know, I just was like determined to kind of get into the industry or something. And I just started. I didn't really know how to do it, but I just started drawing and making my own comic and stuff. And, you know, didn't really do anything until one day I was at the comic shop and, you know, there was like a flyer for a comic book convention, you know, and I went to this convention in Denver, and there was a couple artists there. One of them was Sam Keith, and I showed my stuff to him.
Sweet.
And he was just super cool and, like, supportive, and he actually gave me his phone number and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He was a really nice guy, and I called him up, and he just kind of, like, coached me on how to, you know, get in the business, which his main thing back then was to go out to San Diego. So I went there as soon as I could. And also send out samples, and that's what I started doing to get, you know, I just sent them to Marvel, all the editors at Marvel, all the editors at DC, and plus, like, the small companies that existed back then. There wasn't very many.
Oh, that's wild that you just literally, like, would call and talk to Sam Keith like that. That's pretty cool.
How did
that go? Was it just one phone call that you had, or did you have a little bit of a thing going?
No, for a long time we were friends. I've kind of lost touch with him, you know, just because it's been so long ago.
Right.
But I'd call him up, and once I started sending out my samples, and I actually got some work, and then he got a book, a Hellraiser book that he didn't want to do at one point, and he was like, you know, Jeff, well, I got this Hellraiser book, I don't want to draw it. Like, you and me, well, you know, I'll draw it and you ink it.
Nice.
And, but he didn't want to draw it. So he just kind of like really quick, just on a napkin, sketched out the whole story and was here, do it. You know what I mean? And of course I don't draw anything like him. So I just drew it like how I draw it. And then we turned it into the editor and got fired because it didn't look like Sam's work.
Oh man.
Which it really wasn't that great, but I mean, yeah, we totally got fired, but, like, you know, Marvel, you get, like, a kill fee, so I even got paid for that, so.
Oh, really? Wow.
It's kind of funny, yeah.
Sweet.
Weird old stories.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'm glad I asked you that question.
Yeah.
All right, wow. Freaking love Sam Keith's work, too. So
cool. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It was really cool when I was calling him too, because it was all right in that time period when Image was starting, you know.
Right.
What I mean? And Sam went with the Image guys, like not with the initial push, right. with like Jim Lee and Todd McFarlane and everybody. But they kind of like, there was the first, that initial kind of when Rob Liefeld, everybody left. And then they kind of like was like, hey, come on, you know, and then there was kind of the second wave of guys that went, and Sam went with that, with that wave.
Right.
And started the Max, of course. And I remember him, like, actually even on the phone, you know, asking me, should I do it? Should I don't know, because they were all worried that they'd get, you know, blacklisted from, you know, Marvel and DC if they did that. And they didn't really know if Image was going to fly and all that kind of stuff. And I totally remember going, I don't know, dude, that's like a risky, you know. And of course, wow. It was like probably the best thing he ever did, but, you know.
I know, right? They're reissuing all the new Maxes now, too. I'm not sure what company, though. It's not through Image anymore.
Oh, for real?
It's kind of interesting. But, I was a big fan of Max. I grabbed all their books and had no clue what he was talking about, but it was cool art. I mean, I was pretty young back then, and I'm like, I don't know. I never really got that book too much, but I love the art. I was a fan of him since when he was doing Marvel Comics Presents. He was doing like half of those issues. And
the Wolverine stuff?
Oh, yeah, that Wolverine stuff was so sick. I loved it. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a cool story and everything. So you started putting in submissions and everything, and you said you eventually did get some work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what was that?
Well, from the submissions, I got, like, my first job. I mean, I got some little indie jobs, but I honestly can't even remember the names of the companies anymore. Little black and white stuff for $10 a page and stuff. But my first kind of well-paying job was for Continuity. I don't know if you remember that company, but Neil Adams would start up this company called Continuity. I don't know if he still has it or, cause it would, like back then, the situation was he was always trying to kind of break out with his thing.
Right.
And Continuity was his company, and he would like start this company up and then go for like 5 years and then he would go broke. And, you know, like, I didn't really know that story or anything, but it was kind of like everybody in the industry did. But anyway, he called me and wanted me to come and ink for him for a while. And I went there, and I worked on a book called Earth 4. I don't know if you remember that one.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I remember Continuity. But
anyway, I did, you know, just freelance. I didn't go there or anything. And inked on that book for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, and then they ended up going broke. It's like they always did.
Yeah.
And, anyway, that happened. Then after that, I went out to San Diego again, and then I actually got some pretty good work. I got on with what I was saying with when Image was blowing up. One of the things that happened when Image blew up was, it let in a lot of other companies, you know. Before then, it was like DC and Marvel. That was it. You know, and once Image showed up, suddenly like places like Dark Horse and stuff kind of got a foothold. People like the comic shops actually started ordering their comics.
Right.
So one of those companies that was like that was this little tiny company called Malibu.
Yep.
And, I got some work with them, doing a book called, Lord Pumpkin. I never worked on anything big. Yeah. But anyway, I worked there for a while, and then eventually they had like, they were kind of ahead of the game with the computer coloring. This was right when the computer coloring came in.
Right.
And so they had this little computer coloring department. And I mean, this is the story, is like Marvel wanted their coloring. They thought it'd be easier just to bring them in rather than to, you know, figure it out on their own. So they ended up buying Malibu at one point. I think they actually bought Malibu, just kind of shut them down because they wanted rid of all these little companies that were popping up, you know?
Right.
Cause, you know, like Marvel DC, they had like, you know, a monopoly on the market forever. So why, you know, but that's probably just my opinion. But anyway, so like Marvel bought Malibu, they ended up shutting down Malibu right after that. And, of course, taking all the colorists, but they also kind of came through and just cherry picked the artists that they wanted. So they ended up taking me and some other guys. And then I got to work on some Marvel stuff. I even got to work on some X-Men books. I worked on this one book called Ascani X-Men. I worked on Doom 2099. I don't know if you remember that book.
Yeah.
That's sort of known. Phoenix Resurrection was another one. So I got to do quite a bit of stuff there.
And were you doing penciling or?
Yeah, I was penciling.
Okay, cool. And then what was the other question? Oh, was any of those like a regular book that you did for like any length of time, or was it pretty much here and there type of stuff?
I mean, Doom 2099 lasted 3 issues. I got right on the end of that run, and then the book got canceled. That was kind of the end of the 2099 books.
Right.
Pretty much everything else was just kind of short-lived, one-shot type stuff.
But you were kind of still doing it regular, just different projects each time. Were you able to make a living off of that for a little while, or...?
Yeah, I did. It was about 4 years worth of stuff, and I made a pretty consistent living there. I had an agent at that time. Okay. When I went out to San Diego, I got an agent, and so he kept me going with that stuff. I mean, once you kind of work there, you just, you know, like I had the same editor on the Ascani X-Men book as the Doom 2099 book.
Right.
So they kind of just, you know, once they liked you, they kept you going, but...
And how was it with the demands? Did you find yourself, like, really up in your game as far as drawing, like you had to draw a lot really quick, or was it more like not so much because you already were drawing a lot?
I did draw a lot, I wasn't ready for a monthly book. That howl happened kind of at Malibu, because I remember at Malibu, you know, I had like these high ideals when I was in the comics that I was going to, you know, be something like, I don't know, Jeff Darrow or something, or Frank Miller, where I could just take forever on a book and they just wait, you know.
Yeah, and that's, I remember, dream right there.
Yeah. On that first book I did, that it was like the one I was saying, Lord Pumpkin. I just like on that front first page, I just like worked on this thing for like 6 or 7 days, you know what I mean? Just like detailing the hell out of it, just making it beautiful, you know. And then the editor called me and he's like, "So how you doing on it? You know, how you doing? This, you know, what's an update, you know?"
Right.
And I was like, "Well, I'm not quite done with the first page yet, you know." And he just flipped out. He's like, "What?"
Nice.
And he was like, "Well, you know, it's like, if basically he explained to me, he's like, if the issue comes out late, it's like, you know, I'm gonna let you finish the issue you're on, but then it's like I'm not gonna be able to hire you anymore because, you know, you're not gonna be fast enough." So I listened to him and I was like, "Well, I gotta go faster, you know."
Right.
And then I just kicked it into high gear and I got the book done and kind of dropped that idea that I could draw like all this amazing stuff. And I don't know. I mean, I think I got so I could do good work in that schedule, but I always had a hard time. I just had a hard time keeping up with it. And the thing that really killed me was like, when I came into comics, you know, I had my own style and stuff, and I was like, I'm gonna do it. You know, I just didn't really, I wasn't like a Jim Lee clone or something, you know what I mean? And all the anchors and stuff that were at Malibu and even later at Marvel, I mean, they all wanted to be like Will Sporticio, you know? And they'd get my stuff, my pencil, and they'd be like, "What? What do you want me to do with this?" You know what I mean? They just didn't.
No, your style, like from what I can see now, and if it was very similar back then, I could see how that might be a little hard to translate into just straight up black and white ink.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you probably have to substitute some stuff with the cross hatching anyways or something, but I don't know.
And it was the thing too, is I was kind of in that place where I was experimenting with style, so I kind of had a more cartoony style sometimes, and then I had some stuff that almost went towards like Simon Bisley, and then I had the realistic stuff too, you know, so I was just like all over the place.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was young when this was happening. I was probably like 23 or 4 or something, so I don't know if I was ready for any of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I did have a couple inkers. I mean, what I would, if I could go back now and do it again, what I would do is I would just be like, I'm inking my own stuff. And even though it would take longer, I think I would have been better off, because I think, like, you know, I don't know. You can always just ink your own stuff better than somebody else can. And
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, even just thinking of like, Kirby and stuff, you know, he had a really hard time finding inkers that satisfied him, but he would just pump out the work. But there was a lot of people who didn't do so great over his work, and tried to kind of reinterpret it and put their own style on it and this and mm-hmm. that. And, you know, he finally settled with, you know, a couple people who he was satisfied with who would actually just sit down and do his style and not try to, like, do their own thing. And, you know, that ended up, I think, what was it, Mike Royer or something? He was, like, one of, I think his name was Mike. I know his last name is Royer. But anyways, like, you know, the guy pretty much, I mean, he did Kirby the way Kirby needed, you know, his art, let his art come through the piece and stuff. So, you know, that, I think that's the thing with inking is, you know, they you have to kind of honor the art underneath, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, there was a few guys. There was this one guy, Jason Moore, who still inks, and he did a really good job with my stuff. But, yeah, I know. I would get that, too. I would get guys who would just be like, you know, almost it felt like they were redrawing, like, my stuff to kind of suit the way they saw things. I don't know.
Yeah, it happens. I remember seeing, you know, just because, you know, I've always been a student just by looking at the comics and stuff. And you could definitely tell, you know, when an inker is kind of doing that or if they're like really, like I said, honoring the original art and stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I guess what else, the comics, like, is that where you ended, or was there some more after that?
I don't know what the last thing is. Every now and then I would get a call, for some pinup or something, but the last major thing I did was, you're trying to make the best decisions. I don't know what my editor went away from Marvel. There was a big turnover in editors back then, so they wouldn't last. So I didn't have sort of my Marvel person feeding me work anymore. So it kind of got sparse there. I went to, Image with a book called Hong on the Range. I don't know if you remember this one.
Not so much.
Yeah.
You know what? After I was into Image, like when they first came out, I was like really into it, gung ho, and then I personally got into like other stuff. Like I was into hip hop music. I was making like music and stuff. And I almost stopped drawing for like 10 years almost.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I still would always go back to the sketchbook, but you know, I didn't pursue it as much, and so I lost touch with all comics. And I think that, you know, it wasn't too long after Image really like was going that I did that. So that's why I probably don't remember that book and stuff.
No, that's fine. I don't think anybody remembers it. It was not a very good book. But, yeah, it was like a 3-issue thing for Image. And it was like a big company that hired me, this animation company. I can't remember what they called, Millennium or something. Okay. And they'd never done comics before. And anyway, they hired me, a bunch of artists, and were like, okay, we're going to do comics. And it was a real pain in the ass because they didn't know anything about comics. They didn't know how they worked, and they had like a huge like kind of editorial presence on everything. I remember just turning in the initial sketches and just like getting just tons of notes on like all these changes, you know, and just like with the pages were the same thing, you know, like for the first half of the first book, we got so far behind because it was just change after change after change. To the point where it wasn't even going to, you know, like in the beginning of Image, they had this big thing where books wouldn't come out on time.
Right.
And that was like their big fear. And that was what, you know, Diamond hated about Image was their fucking books wouldn't come out.
Right.
And that's like the exact thing that happened with our book was like up against this sort of, you know, already solicited, has to come out. And then like, you guys aren't getting the book done. I'm like, I can't draw anything. I'm redrawing every fucking thing that I do, you know? And so finally it just got to meltdown point and I had like three inkers and we just turned the whole issue in and was like, take it or leave it or we're leaving, you know, and they just printed the thing and just looked terrible. But it just, yeah, that kind of stuff nobody thinks about when they're looking at, you know, and I just cringe when somebody brings that book up to me at like a con or something. I'm just like, oh, I just wish this thing would fall off the face of the earth.
So
but I got kind of down on comics at that point and kind of, I don't know, got out of that.
Good experience, though, right? To go through all these other things, I would assume.
Absolutely. It's good to kind of get in and, you know, see what it's all about and stuff, so.
Right.
And I wish I could get the opportunities I had back then, you know. That'd be awesome. I'd love to take another shot at that kind of stuff, but.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Yeah, I don't think anybody's getting, not many people are getting those opportunities anymore, unfortunately, the way it was back then.
No.
Money-wise, at least. So, and then, what did you end up doing? Did you kind of just get burnt out from that and chill out for a while, or did you, I know you got into sketch cards eventually, was that, like, your next thing, or?
Well, there was a big gap. There was a point where I was like, I'm gonna do, like, my own comic, and then I didn't really get that going, and then, you know, of course you run out of money, and it's like, I gotta get a real job, so I went to work, delivery driver just here, you know, in town, and got kind of stuck in that kind of job. And, you know, I was painting, and that's kind of when I started to paint, and I thought, well, maybe I'll be a gallery artist, maybe I'll, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know. But all this happened kind of, I mean, the internet was happening back then, but I wasn't in it, you know what I mean? This was like early 2000s. Well, actually, it might not even been that. Might have been like, you know, 98, 99, that kind of era. But I just wasn't aware of it. And there's, you know, all the things like that, gallery artist or something like that, that's all hard to get into. And, you know, it's right. Just, I don't know. And so, yeah, of course, nothing ever happened. Nothing sold and didn't really get any galleries. And I just kind of worked that job forever. And the sketch cards came.
Learned how to paint, though.
I learned how to paint, right. That's exactly what I did right there. So then, like, the sketch cards kind of came when I met my wife and I got online and just started looking around and, you know, that part of the story is kind of like, I used to, kind of like when I was in comics, there was another guy in comics named Mike Hoffman.
Okay.
And, I don't know if you know who he is. He's kind of a Frazetta type painter kind of guy.
I heard you mention him, and I was looking for him on eBay and I couldn't find him, and then I just looked other places and other Mike Hoffmans came up, so I still haven't quite found him yet.
Yeah, it's funny, he's not as much doing the eBay thing. I don't know quite what happened there, but when I, you know, you get online, you look up the guys you know, and I'd look up his stuff, and he'd be like on his blog and stuff talking about how great things are going, and I'd be like, what? Great. What, I haven't seen a book out of you for like, you know, 8 years or something, you know? And, but I just kept watching him. And like what he was doing was he had moved his whole business online. He was selling like basically kind of like what I do now. Commissions and, stuff on eBay and all this kind of stuff. And it just took me a long time to kind of realize that that was for real. You know, yeah. I'd look at that and I'd be like, can't be making any money doing that, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of us were like that.
Yeah.
Early internet days.
Totally. I had a friend, I think I, you know, it's funny, I feel like I'm repeating myself off my old show, but like this guy, Bob Rett, incredible artist. And this was right back kind of when all the Marvel stuff was happening. And, you know, he was like online super early for some reason. And I didn't have a computer or anything. And he was putting stuff on eBay and selling, like, he would do these kind of, like, big kind of, like, 40s pinup type art, you know, like girls kind of cheesecakey stuff, and getting, like, $500-$600 off these eBay auctions. And I was like, you know, I mean, I think back on that, and I just think, why didn't I, you know, put some stuff up, you know, I mean, but I just would listen to his stories and be like, yeah, that's, it's a fluke, you know what I mean? It's not gonna work for me. And he'd be like, "No, Jeff, you gotta sell your stuff," you know. And I, you know, it's just I don't know why. I had such a narrow view of what art was at that point, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, luckily we're still in the early stages of the internet, really. So.
Oh
you know,
yeah.
I think we can still catch the wave here.
Absolutely. Bit. Yeah, I think it's just, it's barely started, you know. It's just barely starting, and it's probably going to be barely starting for a long time, really, but.
Right. Cool. So you did the sketch cards, and that ended up being something you were doing for a living for a while, too, right?
Right. At that point, I mean, I had been the delivery driver. I mean, this is like years later now. I had been the delivery driver. I got married and all this kind of stuff. Got into painting houses and had my own house painting business. I had a couple of people working for me. And first, actually, what I sold was just some nudes. I came on this one board that just was like an erotic art site. And I just put something up finally. You know, I finally was like, oh, I'll just try this. Right. Took me forever, and then the thing like sold the next day for like, you know, I don't remember what, like $90 or something. I was like, what, you know? Wow. That thing sold? You're kidding me. And so I just drew another one, you know. I think the first one I put up was just something out of my sketchbook even. And wow. I just drew another one, and that one sold, and then I just kept going. And like at the end of the summer, I had a couple $1,000 like in my PayPal account. Just, you know, I couldn't believe it. So like once the winter hit and you kind of work dries up, I just was like, I'm just going to try this for a while again.
Right. And so you were doing the nudes on sketch cards, or you were doing bigger pieces?
No, they were all bigger.
Okay.
Kind of like the size I work now.
Okay.
And the sketch cards came, like first I was good with the nudes, and then I ended up kind of quitting painting. Did that for a little while, but then it was just kind of like, I mean, all I was doing was just nudes, like, all the time. And I felt kind of pigeonholed in there. Like, even, like, now, I feel pigeonholed again. But, and I also was like, man, it's like my site looks like a porn site, you know what I mean? It's just, like, nothing but naked chicks. I can't even show it to my mom, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I started looking around online for what else sells. And I came across all these sketch cards and movie art. And I always liked movies and stuff. So then I just tried that. I just did some sketch cards and I put them online, and they sold. And that kind of took over the nudes. I still would do them every now and then, but it just kind of really went hard to the sketch card side because there was a lot of collectors. I just immediately got a lot of attention from that. So
that seems a little odd, though. Like you're saying, I mean, was $90 for a nude like pretty normal, or was that as far as price-wise?
Well,
Thinking sketch cards is like, you get a lot less probably for those.
Well, no, you see that's the thing is like mine actually, I don't remember what my prices were at sketch cards back then. I think they were up around $80 for a commission.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I mean? Mine, I would always like the painted cards, I'd start them at 50. So it'd be like anywhere in that. I mean, they're kind of comparable to my prices now, but maybe even a little higher. I mean, the sketch card market is like there's a real hardcore market for cards. You know what I mean? I know I do see the guys on there that are selling cards for $15-$20, but then it's like mine always would go for quite a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing, you know, pretty much like full-on paintings on a little sketch card, so.
I don't know what, because the thing about the nudes too is like, you know, it happened to me when I was still, like, I had drawn just in my sketchbook and stuff for so long. I had so given up on, like, the art thing. Even though I was still drawing and painting every night, it was just, like, I wasn't, like, finishing anything. I wasn't, like, really putting, like, a concerted effort into making, like, a body of work. So when I started getting all the stuff for the nudes, it was, like, all of a sudden I had to kind of finish a piece, and it was actually hard for me to paint a piece. So a lot of times I would spend, like, 3-4 days on one. Just because it was kind of hard to get myself to just work, you know, consistently on one and also finish one and not feel like I had a real bad kind of overly critical way of thinking about all my stuff back then. Yeah. So like a lot of my pieces I would just go and I'd be like, oh, nobody wants this. I can't. This is terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I had to kind of get over that kind of stuff at that point. So the nudes probably were actually selling for more money, and they might have went up too if I'd stuck in that vein, because it seemed like the guys who were buying that stuff really had the money. I mean, they would buy my stuff, and then I'd see them buying like other people's stuff, just like, you know, dropping tons of money, you know.
Wow.
And so I don't know. That might have been a better market to stick with. I don't know.
I mean, but you did find success with the sketch cards, and I mean, hey, if they're kind of smaller and maybe they're quicker to get out and stuff, so.
Well, that was always my thinking, is that I can do these super fast, but then of course I just started doing them so crazily detailed and stuff that I don't think I got any faster at them, you know what I mean?
Oh, man. So, but, also, I just want to kind of pause it for a second and go back to one thing you were talking about, something that's interesting to me, because I see this with myself as well, but not so much me as a lot of my friend artists and stuff, but that whole idea of, like you said, like, I mean, I definitely feel it too, but, you know, I think I've moved a little past it, but that whole mindset of where, like, you feel like you're, it's not, like, good enough, and you can't put it out yet, and, you know, you're probably spending more time on it than you should, and then even mm-hmm. when you do put it out, you're not really sure, like, how have you been able to break out of that, and if so, like, do you remember, or can you think of, like, maybe something that would help that, or has helped you in that kind of mindset?
Well, man, you know, it's like, I've always had that super bad, even back when I was doing comics, but that's the one thing I would say, though, that did help me, because I don't think anything could break it in me. I was just so hardcore, like, everything has to be perfect, right. And, you know what I mean? And it just killed my, you know, I mean, I think it killed my art career, because I couldn't just go, like, you know, just go, let's get going on it, you know? But, like, what I think helped it is honestly selling, because then it was like, once I had it up online, I had to let it go. I had to let it out of my sight, and I had to think, okay, get on to the next piece. And by doing that, I always kind of did my business the same way, where I'd load stuff on my website and then do prints. So it would be like, you know, that never kind of goes away, especially with the prints, because as the prints sell, you're always printing them and making them and sending them. And it, what I noticed as I went on with that is, like, I would look back at a lot of my old work and I would actually like it. And I'd be like, that actually looks pretty good, you know? Sure. And I eventually kind of got to the point where, like, I am now, where I still get those feelings sometimes, but I just drive them out of my mind. And I go, like, and I just go, like, you know, it's, I mean, I just kind of try to spot it for what it is. And, like, when I start feeling that way, I'm just like, this isn't real. This is because I'm looking at it for all this time. You know what I mean? Right. Somebody else is going to come in and look at this, and they're going to see it for what it is. I'm not seeing it the way it is right now. You right. know what I mean? And I would kind of really focus on that. But I tell you, let me put this little side thing in.
Sure.
With my painting and stuff, I feel like I have gotten past it. I can draw a piece, get rid of it, and I can also look at my stuff and think, you know, and see it for what it is more, I think. But, like, you know, like the comics thing, you know, since I tried to do comics forever, tried to do my own comics and stuff like that, I have, like, a massive block on that kind of stuff. And I've tried to do, like, a web comic or do, like, a self-published comics throughout time, you know, like, there was, well, just, you know, throughout the whole time I was away from Marvel. And I can't get by that stupid thing, you know what I mean? I just have a huge block, and I have, like, you know, all these started comics with one or two pages around, you know, online in different places.
Right.
And it's just like, and I think it's just because I can't sell at that point. I can't do one painting and just sell it. It's like I've got to do 20 paintings, you know what I mean, or 20 drawings or something. And since I have to go that far into it, I think it's just like, it's just the same damn thing. I'm just like, no, it's not good enough. Nobody's going to like it. And then just let that shit take me over, you know?
It's really rough. I mean, comics.
It's the hardest thing about drawing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, I'm trying to think of where I heard it, because I don't want to repeat it if it was, like, something that was on your show or something. But somebody was saying something about that, and, I don't know. It's just so rough with comics. There's so much more to it, and it's so crazy to me, because for some reason we all, like, so many people want to do comics and they want to get good at it, and it's like the worst market ever. Like, yeah. Like there's no like for more. I mean, even if you're amazing at it, it's really hard to make a career out of it. Like, almost impossible. And you know, what was it? Man, I can't remember who said it now, but somebody was talking about getting into comics. Oh, it was you, actually, yeah. So I'll let you tell the story. That's why I didn't want to repeat it, because it would be weird if I repeated your own story.
But, I know, it's Jeff Lafferty, and here's what he said.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. But, so tell us the story of when you, brought your comic to see, who was it? Oh, man, now I gotta think of who it was you were talking to. Do you remember? I think you said the story recently, or it was in a podcast. Do you know what I'm talking about?
In the past?
Yeah, and it had to do with why people do comics. Like, why do you do comics? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Why don't you just start it up, and then I'll...
Maybe it wasn't you, but I think it was.
Are you talking about, like, when I first went to Sam Keith with my work? And I was standing in line, and I was with another guy. And then what happened that time was that was like the first time I ever went to a con and showed my work to anybody, and it was Sam, and this is like, you know, probably why he gave me his phone number and stuff. But like when I was in line, I went with a friend of mine who was another artist, and I'm like, yeah, let's go show our stuff to, you know, an artist and see what he says. And then like right as we're getting up there, he like turns to me and he's like, don't show him. Don't show him your stuff, you know? And I'm like, what? And it just had like that crisis of confidence.
That roller coaster moment where it's like, stop the roller coaster.
Exactly. But I don't know if that's what you were talking about or not.
No, you know, maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was somebody you were interviewing. I don't know, man. But somebody was talking about, they went to a comic artist and they were like, and this is why I think it was you, because it was like really amazing, like detailed art and stuff. And the person was like, what, you know, why do you even want to make comics? You should be doing, like, movie posters. That's why I think it was you. Yeah. And the person was like, what did they say? They were like, well, it's basically in my blood, like, type of thing. Like, the reason why people do comics, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Financially, or the work is so hard, and it's like you spend all this time. And then you sell a comic. Back in the days, it was like for a dollar or less or whatever. Now, sell a comic for $5. Each page should be worth hundreds of dollars, you know? But it's like, why do we do this? Well, you know, for some reason, it's in my blood to try making comics.
So, right.
I wish I could remember exactly where that came from. But anyways, you know, so... Yeah, making comics is rough, but you found some other things. You found the sketch cards, and man, I feel like there was some other things. Yeah, it's just tough with that perfectionism. You know, I think we all deal with it, and I feel bad because I have a lot of friends who I feel like get caught up in that. You know, and it stops them. You know, and.
Yeah.
And I feel like the same thing too. Like I'll be doing good. I have some goals. I'm doing some stuff, and then it just won't sell or something, or like something will come and frustrate it. Somebody will say some critical thing, and I'll be done for like a week or something, maybe a few weeks. You know, I just can't. I don't even want to look at the freaking art and stuff. And some people get stuck like that for months and years, you know, and I feel bad because I see these people and they're really good artists. You know, they're better artists than I am. You know what I mean? Like, so it's such a rough spot.
No, I see it like that too. And I almost have that same kind of thing that's still in me where it's like, I get going and stuff and I start thinking, oh, what about a comic? You know, I just always wanted to do comics and, you know, you never kind of accomplish what you want to do in there. And, you know, I'll be going for a walk and have a conversation in my mind trying to like talk myself out of this because financially you're like, there's no money there. You know what I mean? You can paint a piece and sell a piece, but it's like with a freaking comic.
Yeah.
It's a whole different ball game, and I don't want to say that and be down on it, because I really do think that you can make money online with almost anything if you're smart about it, and there's like comic book artists that are proving it, you know, online. Right. But it's, you know, it's a lot harder than just painting one piece and sticking it up, you know?
One thing I think is interesting is the way comic books used to be is, you know, I mean, you know, Marvel and DC, they made a lot of money on 15-cent comics, which is crazy. Yeah. But they also had, like, just, they hired, like, you know, basically newbies, and they hired, like, old guys who were retired. This is when they first started. They hired like old guys who were like retired, and they would work for anything basically, and they would just churn this stuff up. It wasn't about like, it wasn't even really about like art so much. It was more just about churning out these stories. It was pulp fiction, basically, you know, that's what it was. And, you know, it was because they could sell tons of books that they could even go about doing this. So it was a whole different thing back then. And I think what's funny is we kind of have that opportunity again now with the internet, because we can sell like a digital comic or whatever. And it's so weird because like music made the mistake of making the digital music so cheap that it pretty much destroyed the whole industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, now the same things kind of happen with comics, but the thing that they didn't do, like they learned from it, but at the same time, it's not so good is, you know, this digital prices are the same exact prices pretty much as the actual physical books.
Right.
For the big two. And, you know, I think this is an opportunity, especially for indie creators. You know, we should maybe try to go back to like a cheaper model and see if we can find a way to get to the market, though. That's really the tough thing. And also, not only that's like one of the keys is go back to like a cheaper, you know, book by book price with digital, because now we have the leverage of that. And then number two is we need to expand what comics are. Like, they have them in like Japan or whatever. I guess they have all kinds of topics and, you know, all different age ranges and types of people buy these things. And we pretty much still, we have expanded a lot, but still what really sells is superheroes to middle-aged guys.
Right. No, agree. I actually totally agree with like your whole estimation there. And especially with like the digital comics and the prices. Cause that's like something that I noticed. It's like with Comixology, you know, like I've been on there and I get books and sometimes I'll read them online and I really like reading them with their viewer and stuff. But it really does kind of puzzle me. It's like, why $2.99 and stuff? It just seems like way too much. I mean, why not 99 cents? If they were more like that, and I think I would actually buy like a ton more, you know, and that would probably, because I don't really even go to the comic shop anymore. I think a lot of people are like that. But I would kind of like to read more comics, but, you know, I don't know. I agree with you, though. I think that like a cheaper price, you know, get them back to like when you used to go to the grocery store and they were like four a quarter. I think that'd be ideal. I think that would get people buying them like crazy, you know.
Absolutely. And I think it's, like you say, like, it's kind of almost like just a matter of time, but there needs to be some kind of company or a few companies that can somehow reach these audiences, you know. Probably the younger audiences is where it would work, and, you know, who knows, you know, maybe through video games you can advertise it or something. I don't know, there's probably a lot of, I know YouTube is big for kids, you know, a lot of kids watch YouTube stuff a lot. And music videos is a big thing on YouTube, so maybe through that, even advertisements through that somehow. I don't know. Somehow we gotta find a way to reach that audience. But it, you know, that'll take a lot of work, like everything else.
Well, there is still, I mean, if you look at like the kind of the rise of manga and stuff, you know, I mean, there's still kids buying what they want, you know what I mean? There are still kids hunting that stuff out.
Yeah.
Kids that you wouldn't think would be into comics, you know, and stuff, like girls and stuff. I mean, you just, they're a whole kind of market that took care of themselves and found what they wanted. And, I mean, I think that's, I don't know. I mean, I'm on the side of that comics isn't going to die, because I really think that there are more people than just like us, like these old guys or me, you know, still hanging on to the dead corpse of comics, you know, especially when you look at like web comics and like manga, because that's two things that, you know, didn't come from like, you know, Marvel and DC or anything like that. They came into their own and found their own audience, and they exist in their own place, you know.
But that's a good point.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is, like, I do agree. It's like you need some place, which I guess the internet, like if you look at webcomics, the internet is the place where they are, you know what I mean? Yeah. which that's kind of hard to find stuff. But then, and I don't know what the deal is with manga bookstores or whatever. But I don't know. You know, like, the other thing that I've kind of noticed lately with this whole thing with, like, Amazon and stuff and all these self-published books, you know, because there seems to be this kind of flood of people going towards self-publishing on Amazon and on Kindle, and there's this big explosion, and you keep hearing about, like, these people coming out of that, you know, making all this money. And I wonder sometimes if comics couldn't do that also, though I think that, like, probably the people that are on Kindle right now reading novels aren't really the audience that are going to buy comics. But obviously there's an audience to buy comics that are buying comics off of Comixology, you know? I mean,
I think that a lot of kids have iPads nowadays, mm-hmm. and that's really where it's at, you know? And even, I don't know, I haven't looked into it enough, like, but I do know, like, I don't like how Comixology does it. Like, I think it's really cool how they do it. But, like, how it's panel-to-panel type of situation.
You don't dig that.
The actual format. Like, I think it's cool, but I don't want to read my comics that way. And it's probably being older and being a fuddy-duddy, but comics, when they're created as, so you see a page, and, you know, they're purposely, you know, the artist is purposefully, you know, leading your eye into certain things, and certain things are supposed to pop out. And certain things are supposed to stay more in the background. And when you go panel to panel, it kind of messes that whole thing up.
That is kind of true. I agree. Because it's like there's a design to a page, and you don't get that at all when you're reading, like, Comixology. You don't even really know quite where in the book you are. You're just kind of ding, 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 you know, moving across. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, but who am I to say that is where people go for comics, though, still nowadays. And people do kind of dig that. So that might just be more the artist in me or whatever, but with the iPads, you can see a page. I mean, comics look almost better than ever now on those things. Like, they look really cool on iPads when you see the whole page. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I think there's definitely that market, and Comixology is the place to be at this point. But I feel like there needs to be other places, because I think their prices are too high is a big reason. I mean, I want to be able to be like the only thing that they sell to me really is the fact that it's more convenient and I don't have to have a bunch of boxes laying around my house with comics in.
Right. But
the price is still the same. I mean, when you're paying $10 for two comics, I mean,
right.
I do that, you know, I go to the comic store and do that. I still try to get some comics, but, you know, I can only be subscribed to, like, two or three comics a month, you know, because I don't have a lot of money, so, you know. So, yeah. I don't know.
I know, and it's like, they've always been kind of like this throwaway entertainment, and in some ways I feel like that's what they should be, you know.
Yeah.
At least if you're buying, like, the single issue type stuff. I don't know. They've just gotten too nice. They're like a little illustrated book, or too expensive to print now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as much as I love to talk about comics, kind of more of what, you know, you're doing now, I want to get into too is, you know, you've moved on to doing, like, pretty much illustration, and painting a lot, and you're doing also these drawings and stuff, and you know, I guess, you know, tell us a little bit about how you ended up moving kind of into that, and also I'm curious to hear, like, well, actually two things. You mentioned on your Artcast that you think that this whole, like, kind of creating art as an independent artist and selling it is like, it's like an industry now. Like, that's kind of something that people do. And there are, I've noticed that too. There are with all kinds of different things. I mean, I've even seen people, like, doing a painting of a cupcake every day, you know, and they sell their original art in prints, and they, like, make a living off of that, which is crazy. So, but it's cool. Like, I kind of dig it. But so, like, I kind of would like you to speak a little bit on that as well, and just kind of where you think where you think this new thing that you're kind of doing will maybe take you, or what you're hoping where it could take you.
Yeah.
Or any of us as artists, really.
Okay. And I guess the first part, you know, like...
Like, how did you come to it, I guess?
Right. Well, I guess I just came to it because... I mean, pretty much the sketch card thing. And this is just kind of the natural extension of that, which is people are buying the bigger stuff, so I'm just doing it bigger. I'm pretty much doing the same stuff as I was doing on the sketch cards. But, you know, between sketch cards and here, I kind of got back out of, you know, working and went back to a normal day job. Cause I don't know. I guess they look back and I can't quite figure out why in the hell I went back. But, my son was born in that time and stuff, so I'm kind of blaming it on him, maybe getting scared about having a kid and stuff. But now, you know, I got sick of that and I came back to like selling art online. And I think that, I don't know. I mean, I do actually think it is an industry. I don't think it's that different. Like I'm doing like the movie art type stuff. That's kind of like the thing I picked at this moment, but I don't know that it's going to be like what I do forever. You know, I might try to branch into different things. I actually paint in different styles. And before I was kind of doing it full time online now, yeah. I was actually painting, some fantasy stuff and stuff that doesn't even look photo real, and selling that on eBay too, just kind of as experiments and stuff, just because I was getting bored and moving around. So I might even do more stuff like that too. But I mean, the overall picture of like selling, I don't know if it's in an industry, but I think that it's something that's completely doable for like you said. I mean, not only, just like movie artists, because that seems to be kind of like the people that are gravitating to me now. But I see it like all over the place, you know what I mean? And just like what you said, like the guy painting the cupcakes every day or whatever, that was like one of my early inspirations for like doing this. Was I came across these guys, and they were called like daily art bloggers or something like that. And this was, you know, quite a while ago. And, you know, it was kind of just a normal news story about these different artists that were painting, just a painting every single day, putting it on a blog and selling it on eBay. So I went and I looked, I found these guys, and I couldn't believe like how much money some of them were making. And just for painting like, you know, teacups and bowls of fruit and just very simple kind of rudimentary little canvas paintings and oil and stuff like that. And, that's kind of what I mean, is it's like, those guys, they found a way. I mean, it's no different. It's just no different than a guy making shirts and putting them in Walmart to sell. You know what I mean? It's just no different than a guy making a comic book, giving it to Diamond to distribute. It ends up in a comic book and somebody buys it. You know what I mean? The only difference is people haven't seen this enough, and maybe they won't ever see it, that they just don't realize that this is an avenue. You know, I don't know. Did that answer the question? I kind of got off track there.
Yeah, no. You answered definitely the question. I guess what I was a little bit curious as well, and you did kind of answer this too, but you know, maybe a little bit more is, do you kind of have any ideas of what you might want to do next? I mean, I know you're pretty much focused on trying to do basically what you're doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But have you thought any further where you'd like it to take you, or pretty much just like fantasy stuff? Or
I don't know. See, that was part of the quitting the job thing, because I did quit my job, you know, about whatever, 5 weeks ago or 2 months ago now. And I wanted that pressure, because this is what happened when I did it with sketch cards. It's like sketch cards took over my life, and I just went where the sketch cards took me. You know what I mean?
Right.
I painted the stuff that people wanted and they bought it. And then because I was doing that, you know, the commissions built and the prints sold and things like that. It was kind of like my customers were kind of telling me what to do. And I just followed that river. And that's kind of what I wanted to happen again, because ever since I kind of, you know, like even when I went back to work, I was like, oh, I still do my sketch cards on the side, or some movie art and stuff like that. But it all just slowed down a lot because I didn't have time to ship things. I didn't have time to talk to people online. You know, I didn't have time to do the work hardly. So everything was just grinding to a halt. But that's kind of what I wanted to happen again. I wanted that pressure of, and maybe somebody would look at this as bad, because I turned my, like, thinking around. Even, like, when I was back in comics, I always would look at, like, oh, deadlines are bad. And, you know, like, I don't want to draw what everybody wants me to draw. I want to draw my own thing and all that kind of stuff. Right. But, like, after being, like, an old guy who's, like, kind of failed at his art career, you know, you go, you know, you get to a point where you're like, I did it wrong somewhere. You know what I mean? Somewhere along the way, my thinking was wrong. And now I look back at that, and I think sometimes that, like, I passed up opportunities that would have helped me, because I was in this mindset of, like, my idea is better than what someone else wants me to draw or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, I look back on, like, a lot of my art heroes and stuff, like, you know, Frank Frazetta is one of them. And so many of those guys will, like, you'll read their thing, or even, like, what you're talking about, like Kirby and some of those guys that were, like, in the early days of comics, like John Buscema and stuff. And they'll have, you know, maybe not Kirby, but, like, I know Buscema, he really wrote, like, a just scathing thing at the end of his career where he was just like, I hated comics the whole time I was doing them. I never wanted to be in comics. And it was just like, are you kidding me? You're like John Buscema. You're like Brad Grass Conan artist over. You know what I mean? But I wonder too, like, I mean, how come he didn't realize what he was? You know, how come he didn't realize that, like, wow, you know, you're the guy who wrote the How to Draw the Marvel Way book, you know? Yeah. It's like, that's what I mean, is I kind of think I was in that kind of mindset. And so, like, by quitting my job and stuff, I wanted to get more into this idea of, like, I just want to go the way, I want to paint what people want, and I want to follow that. So I don't really know, like, what's going to happen with, like, my art and stuff, but I just want to kind of just keep painting the next thing that somebody wants me to paint the next thing that I think that might sell, and just see where it takes me. Cause I do think that there's a chance that somebody could come along and go, wow, you do that really well. I want you to do more of that. Come work here for a while or something. Right. But, you know, I don't know. The way to find that isn't by, like, working a job and then working for 3 hours a night on your art that you don't have time to ship. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. No doubt. Now I'm thinking of, like, a quote, but I don't remember exactly how it goes, but somebody said something like, the path to, like, success is never, like, a straight line or whatever.
Yeah,
and I think that actually does make sense, you know, kind of dive into this and focus on that, and some things are going to pop up there. The things that maybe the next direction you need to go will probably reveal itself in some way, shape, or form, so.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting, and you've caught on to something that seems to be working, so that's really cool. And for me, it's crazy, and you've talked about this, and it's like, us as artists, we tend to be almost like cannibalistic, like we just feed on each other, and we just we're so mean to each other sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, luckily, and it happens in the comic industry too, but for some reason, I've noticed in all the different things I've worked in, different music, art, whatever, comics, usually people have been the nicest and most helpful.
Yeah.
Generally. And I think that's because it's so hard. Everybody knows it's so hard. They're just like, they can't help but be encouraging about it. But, you know, I've tried, now I kind of lost my train of thought, but,
we were talking about people being nice and people kind of attacking each other and stuff.
Oh, right. Like artists being, like, cannibalistic. It's so crazy because, like, we criticize each other, and it's like, we all know it's really hard. Like, why are we criticizing each other at every single point? Because, you know, to me, if you can find a way to make this freaking thing work for you, like, go for it. You know, do it. Like, I don't even care. Like, it's hard enough to do it. Like, if you're doing it, I'm sure there's some ethical lines and stuff that you probably shouldn't cross or whatever, but to me, like, almost anything is up for grabs to me. If you're doing it, do it. Like, keep going, because it's not easy. I was just talking to a guy today, a new guy at my job, and, you know, I don't do anything close to related to art, and I was telling him, you know, I got to find something different eventually. I mean, I like where I'm working, but you know, this has nothing to do with anything I'm interested in at all. And he's like, well, what are you interested in? I'm like, I don't even want to tell this guy, like, that I'm into art and music. Like, he's going to think I'm an idiot, you know? So I'm like, well, you know, nothing, what I'm into isn't very marketable. Right. And it's so hard to do. So, you know, I'm trying to find something different, you know, whatever. But then I was like, he kind of pressed in, and I'm like, well, I really love making art and music and stuff, but, you know, it's really hard to get into. And he was actually nice. He was like, you know what? Whatever you do, don't give up, you know? So I was like, well, cool. At least he was cool about it. But it's so true. Like, I have another friend who, like, he plays guitar. He's an amazing guitarist. He, you know, he writes good songs. He's gotten to the point where he sings decent and stuff, and it sounds really cool. And he's just amazing to me, and it's like, and he'll tell me, he's like a good friend of mine, and be like, you know, unfortunately I was cursed to, you know, have talent, basically, and you know, the thing I really want to do, I can't do, and the thing, yeah, what I end up doing, he's like a driver for some company, you know,
so. Yeah.
So, like I said, if you find a route, more power to you, in my opinion, for whoever it is, you know?
Right. Yeah, it feels like that sometimes, like it's a curse or something, which is totally crazy. It's just something that's completely crazy that like, you know, that's how we're looking at it. But, yeah, it does. It feels like, oh, this is, you know, and then I have to go and, you know, do whatever, flip burgers or something. No, it's...
And everybody's so amazed by it. Everybody's so amazed. And it's like, oh, they see your stuff and they're like, you should be doing this or you should be doing that. You're so amazing. But, okay, well, will you buy something? You know, I don't know. You know, that's when the excuses come in. So it's like, that's why. You know, that's why I'm not doing it for a living.
But oftentimes those people do buy something, though. You know, a lot of times, like, those are the guys, like, walking around a convention or something that'll buy stuff. Or they buy comics or they buy music in some form or something. You know, it's... I don't know. You know, like, I think one of the things that you hit on in that whole thing was, like, the criticism thing. And also, being, like, you know, just, in a way, it's like, getting past that, it's, that thing of, like, feeling you have to be, like, so amazing. You know what I mean, though?
Right.
Because everybody has that, and I do too. You know what I mean? And I know people say, oh, Jeff, you're so wonderful, you know, or whatever, but I definitely feel it too, but it's like, if you look at what makes money, you look at the guys who do it, you know, it's like you can find a million people doing it, and some of them like massively famous and stuff that just like are almost like terrible at it. You know what I mean? I mean, there's so many artists that I see that are like, I like bad in a way, you know what I mean? And yet they'll still be out there like just, you know, making it work, you know, and I'm not saying like you're bad or anything like that, but it's just, it makes me realize that it's like, you know, anybody can do it, and it's more about like figuring it out, how to do it, figuring out the business side of it and making it work and believing that it doesn't matter that you're not, you know what I mean? Monet. Right. It's like you can be less than Monet and still make it work.
Right. You know? Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially with, you know, that's almost the style sometimes nowadays, even in big media.
Absolutely.
And stuff, bad art is like the style sometimes. and I mean, I'm pretty much realistic, I think, about, you know, my opinion, I think, about my opinion of my own, you know, art. I always, a lot of times I tell people they're better than me, and I believe it, but I don't feel bad about it, really. That part doesn't, I've kind of gotten over that part. And I think I'm okay, you know, whatever. I'm moderate or something at the art. But that does encourage me when I mean, it's so funny. People criticize, again, artists. And I try not to criticize any artists because we got enough going against us. But, you know, I do see, you know, you go on DeviantArt, you can see the full range, the full spectrum. You know, you got people trying to draw manga and they look like crap. And then you got people who are really good at it. And then you got people who are, you know, absolute professionals and amazing artists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but like you said, you see these people making something of it, and that's encouraging to me. You know, if they can do it, I should be able to come up with something because I'm decent at at it. You know, I'm at least moderately decent at it, you know? So, yeah, absolutely. That's definitely a good point and everything, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know, that's just, like, and two, like, I think when I was thinking about the guys, you know, like you said, you know, like the early guys at Marvel and stuff, and I mean, it is too bad that somehow we couldn't set something like that up where you're getting paid and you're just cranking out the books, because I think all of us could just get in there and just become a ton better artist after we've, like, you know, drawn or whatever, done, like, 100 books, you know what I mean? By the end of that, right, you'd be, like, a guy like Jack Kirby or something, you know? But, like, what I also was going to say is, like, back then, so many of those guys, you know, they were really felt like they were slumming it when they were doing comics. They were, like, didn't admit they were comic book artists and stuff to their friends. And a lot of them, you know, came from, like, advertising and stuff, and just, you know, they were like, oh, comics, you know, this is the dregs. They didn't realize what they were doing. And you know, it's, I don't know, there's just so much in perspective. Sometimes you just gotta, like, turn that perspective. Just be like, everybody says I suck. Well, I say I'm good.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I know. Absolutely. I mean, that whole thing, you know, kind of fake it till you make it thing. I think that the truth in that is the confidence thing. Like,
yeah,
we don't feel authentic or something, or we don't feel like we're good enough. But you might actually be good enough, but you kind of fake that confidence, and it does. It actually helps. You know, you do that, and then all of a sudden, you do start to feel a little bit confident, and it kind of builds on itself. So,
yeah, you know. I think eventually you do. You start believing your own thing.
Maybe. I mean, as long as you don't get into too much, like, arrogance or something, and, right, you know. But for the most part, I don't think most artists can't help but be somewhat humble.
Yeah. I know, I don't think I've ever seen one, really, who's just like, I'm the king. Well, maybe I have. At some conventions, you meet guys that are kind of like the car salesman.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. So rare. It's just the opposite most of the time. Most people are just always, like, you know, just knocking themselves. Like, I can't draw. I can't. Nobody wants this. Here, just take it for free. Let me pay you to take my work. Can I come mow your lawn and you can take one of my paintings, please?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I mean, it's the classic, you know, this isn't my best work, but,
right. I'm gonna do that tomorrow. Exactly.
Yeah. I was thinking about that today, because that guy who I was talking to, I had my art cards in my bag, because once in a while I have a chance at work to do some sketching or whatever, so I was, like, going to show him. But I was thinking the same thing even then. I was, like, tempted to be like, well, you know, these are little sketch cards. You know, I could do better if it was, like, bigger. But I was like, no, don't say that if you do talk to him. So.
That's cool. I know, you know, I was the same way. I didn't really talk much at work about my, you know, like, there was maybe one guy when I left work that, you know, even knew I was an artist. And it's just, you know, they just, I don't know. You know, everybody's into their thing, and the people there just, I don't know what, you know, benefit it would have been for me to, you know, bring that up. You know, we were there to paint houses and stuff. And I don't know. It just, and I think, too, I didn't want the negativity. I didn't want, you know, anybody's opinion that I couldn't do it and stuff, you know, or shaking their head or rolling their eyes kind of stuff. Not that I think they even would have done that, but, well, no, actually, yeah, I think some of them. I think my boss would have definitely been like, Jeff, what are you doing?
But you know what? I mean, that's another thing, too, that we as artists, I think, need to do is learn how to speak up and learn how to talk about our art, even to regular people. And it's something that I've always struggled with. But luckily, where I work, it's like literally like four guys. So, like, I've been working there for 5 years. I've gotten comfortable enough with them to start introducing a couple things. And once in a while, maybe like once every like 5 or 6 months, I'll be like, oh, check out this thing I did recently, you know.
Yeah.
You'll probably like this. And luckily, everybody's, like, into it. They're all cool about it. And some people even bought a couple little things, you know, not a lot, just, like, little $10, $5 things here and there. But, you know, that I didn't want to say it, but I'm, like, I'm sitting here, like, I've been working here for 5 years. Nobody probably even knows that I'm, like, doing any of this stuff. They tell me about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's only fair that I kind of talk about what I do a little bit, but, you know, most of the time they only want to hear you talk about it for like 5 minutes, and then they're like, okay, you know, let's get back to sports or something.
Right.
Right. So I keep it short and sweet, but
no, that's kind of cool. I mean, that's maybe you know, you're right about that, and I don't know. I definitely have you ever been to any cons or anything?
Oh yeah, I've done a few cons here and there.
So that helps with talking about your work. At least you're there, you're in you know, a venue where it's right there, and that's what the people expect, you know.
Absolutely. You're in front of people who are into it already, so. Actually, I have a better time going to cons and not tabling, like, and talking to independent artists. Like, I have a ton of fun doing that. I usually make more, like, connections and stuff doing that than when I'm actually sitting behind a table, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely trapped there when you're at a table. I really feel that. Like, you know, I'll go to a con and I just won't see anything except for, you know, the stream of people by my you know, my table or whatever. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are heading into, looks like, an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay.
But some of that was pre-talk and stuff, but, you know, I don't want to be sensitive to your time and, you know, plus the podcast can only be so long. So.
Right. Definitely.
But, yeah, no, definitely thanks for coming on. And I know I said it was going to be interview and then topic, but I think we actually ended up getting into topic-y stuff anyways, like, throughout the interview. So it worked out.
Totally.
So yeah. So thanks for coming on. I guess, yeah, just let everybody know your sites and stuff again, and you know, we'll come end the podcast, I guess.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me on the show. That was a lot of fun. And my sites, I mean, jefflafferty.net's my main site. You can pretty much find everything else there. My YouTube videos and everything. So that's it.
Sweet. I like that answer. I say the same thing. DrJobProjects.com. You can find everything there. Easy. So yeah, once again, thanks a lot for coming on. Love your stuff. And yeah, that's it for the Escape Artist Podcast today. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all awesome. And we'll talk to you next time.
Background music provided by Mr. Poole. You can find show notes at DonkeyJawProjects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to Patreon.com/Plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.